Welcome to Connections, our daily news program here on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore, and we have two guests today. We have Ken Perrone and Al Butch Giardi from used to coach football together at Salem High School many years ago, but they'll be joining us to talk about some of the sports that they've been watching on the television. That's right, they've been watching it on the television over the last several weeks or so, and some other things as well. Plus, I'm sure we'll have to talk a bit about Salem football back in the 70s and 80s with those two guys. And Butch Giardi is Mike Giardi's dad, who is the, now I would almost say, legendary coach over at Marblehead, both football, football, basketball, and baseball. So here he is, Rick Moore. Welcome, Rick. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, Bill. Yeah. Well, hello. Yeah, no, great names. And, you know, it just reminded me of when you first came to the area and you checked in on Glenn O'Brien, who was a legendary coach at that point. And now here we are doing it all over again, but some, you know, great voices, great minds, great guys. So that'll be interesting for sure today. And Memorial Day weekend, I got to tell you, the flags are flying along Stacy Boulevard in Gloucester. I think there are 144 of them, if I counted correctly. And Senator Bruce Tarr's brother, Ringo Tarr, and some other volunteers put those things up every Memorial Day, and they take them down every Labor Day.
And the beautiful orange cones are out all along Lynn Shore Drive still.
So. Oh, you know, those are an invasive species, Bill. They come from Ohio. They're called Rhodesidiums.
Really?
Rhodesidiums.
Actually, they're the orange barrels, not the orange cones. I'm sorry. The orange.
The cones are the Rhodesidiums offspring.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah. They're the dwarf.
They come from Ohio originally, so just to let you know.
All right, from Ohio. Nice. The Buckeyes.
A couple of other things, Bill. I know we got a good show here, big show here. A couple of things to mention. The beaches are open in Gloucester as of today with restrictions. You're going to have to go check out the Gloucester Times for that. Taylor Ann Bradford get you up to date. Or actually check out our website. We've got the entire rules and set up right here on MSO. For the opening of Gloucester beaches. And the churches on Cape Ann have decided to stay closed for now. They're checking in with their superiors, if I could use that word, on what's best and checking on further rules. So although Governor Baker opened up the churches on Cape Ann, according to Taylor Ann Bradford, are remaining closed for now.
Well, that makes some sense as well. So, hey, today looks like it's the best day best day of 2020, so to speak, even under our current conditions, if you will. But then it's a little cooler over the weekend. So get out and enjoy today if you can. And then even if you see this podcast, you could always listen to it over the weekend. It'll still be there. You can check it out anytime. So, yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. Memorial Day weekend and Memorial Day observations. I know some towns are doing some special things, kind of online or virtual celebrations, if you will, or honoring our war dead on Memorial Day. But will not be the same as it has been in the past, for sure. And that's kind of a city and town by town basis. So there you go. All right, Rick. Anything else?
No, it's just, as you say, Bill, it's Memorial Day weekend. It's a time for reflection, obviously, for that reason. But also, you know, it's the unofficial beginning of summer. And as you mentioned yesterday, it's the earliest we can have Memorial Day. Labor Day is going to be the latest we can have Labor Day. So let's hope for a good, long summer for everyone.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. And we'll remind you that you are listening to Connections. A daily news podcast for the North Shore, North Shore Today. North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7, as we keep you connected with the North Shore. Joining us at this time are two North Shore coaching legends, former Salem High football coach Ken Perrone, former Salem State baseball coach Ken Perrone, and Salem High baseball coach Al Butch Giardi, and of course an assistant with Ken on the football team for many years. So, gentlemen, Ken, let me say hello and welcome. Thanks to you first.
Well, it's good to hear Butch's voice. You know, great that I can hear him this morning.
Yeah, you broke up for a second there, but Butch, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me to speak with you and Ken.
Well, let me ask you guys both, tell us about how you guys got together, because Salem High had a legendary coaching staff there beginning in the 70s, and Right, yeah, 70s and then into the 80s and so on. And how did you guys first meet?
Well, actually, I applied for the job and got the job, and then I needed assistance. I had only one assistant, Tim Marcuyer, that I took with me from Brewer. And so I interviewed the coaches that were on the staff prior to me taking over. And I hired Butch along with Ray Harrington, and I guess I got Paul DeShane, too, from Lynn Classical. But that's how I first met Butch, was on an interview for the job.
Butch, what did you think?
No, I had been coaching with Jack Follin for 3 years, and things kind of went south on us. Our record got progressively worse. And Ken came down from Maine with a great resume, state championships, and it was a great opportunity for Salem and for Ken, and, you know, he hired me. I was happy that he hired me.
But what's interesting is you guys, you know, were so vital in that Salem High football program for so many years, but you were the high school baseball coach at Salem. Ken did not coach baseball at that point, but had done so in the past, and then later on had a long... Ken, how many years were you at Salem State?
30 years.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, it was a long stretch, but I loved every minute of it. You know, I wish I had the facility that I had my last 5 years. Every year I'd come home and I'd say to my wife, this is it. I'm all done. The wind coming off the water there, Butch can tell you, you'd freeze your butt in the spring. The field was a mess a lot of times. I spent more time being the gardener down there some days than I did coaching, trying to get the water out of the infield and get the debris out of the dugouts. And the kids used to spray paint, bad words and stuff on the back of the dugout in that area. It wasn't an easy area to coach in. So every year, I would say, this is it, I'm all done. And my wife would say, don't do it right now. Wait until January or so. Give yourself time. You know, you won't be so depressed. And she was always right. January, I was fired up to go again. And the same scenario happened every year, though, for 30 years, until I got the new facility. And the new facility was great.
Yeah. Hey, I want to tell our listeners what I wanted to do with you guys is talk about some of the baseball or whatever you've been watching, the old sports on TV during the pandemic here. But I want to just, I think it would be useful for me to get a little information from you guys on Mike Giardi. So I was talking to Mike, which would be Al's son, who's a three-sport coach over at Marblehead now, football, basketball, and baseball, both basketball and baseball as head coach, but was a standout three-sport star at Salem High School. So, Ken, you had him in football, but you had Mike, at the house every night, but also had him on the baseball field and so on. And, you know, I was doing Harvard football at the time when he was coming to Harvard, and I remember talking with a guy who was very into the Harvard football program, knew the candidates, knew the freshmen coming in. And Mike was not really at the top of the depth chart from what this guy was telling me. But he proved himself at Harvard and became the starting quarterback, as we all know, at Harvard, and had a great career at Salem High as well in the three sports. But Ken and Mike and Butch, maybe tell me a little bit more about Mike. Ken, I'll start with you to take the pressure off his dad.
Well, I'm just glad that that Butch was my assistant. Mike was at Salem High School. He was one of the great athletes that I was very fortunate to have at Salem. He could do it all, you know, and he loved the game, and he's an outstanding coach. I always thought he'd be a great, great, you know, head football coach. He seems to be content to be the play coordinator at Marblehead, and he's one of the big reasons why they're doing so well over the past 10 years. And as an athlete, I just thank my lucky stars that I had him. A great athlete, a very outstanding competitor.
Yeah. Butch?
To be honest with you, I don't know what to say. I mean, he played on great teams in all three sports with guys who ended up having great college careers and some professional careers. They won state championship in basketball, state championship in baseball, and football, we went 9-1 his senior year, and we, by the rules at that time, we didn't make the playoffs, which, it was one of Ken's best teams, and I think we would have done well in the playoffs, but those teams, they had great players, and that's what makes great teams, too.
Hmm.
And he was part of that, and I was proud of everything that he did with those teams.
Well, you know, and the other thing, too, was I was talking to Mike the other day, and if I go over to a Marblehead baseball game, you know, I will see you, Butch, in the stands watching the game. So, I mean, this has been going on for a lot of years, you watching Mike play or coach or whatever. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. Yeah, he's been over to Marblehead. I think this is his 20th year. And I go to almost every Marblehead, football, basketball, and baseball game. I don't miss many. It's been fun watching him. I wish I had him as my coach. To be honest with you, I think he knows a lot more than I even know.
That's a good point. Yeah, yeah. Hey, so now let's get to the topic here that I want. You know, I wanted you guys to share some of those stories, but. Butch, you know, so I was talking with Mike, and Mike says, you know, my dad is watching a lot of the old games and really pulling some interesting things out of watching the old games, you know, now years later. So, you know, let me follow up with you on that, Butch. What are you watching on, you know, for old games? And there's so many of them now, you know, either on NESN or MLB or the other channels. What game or two have you been watching of late?
Actually, I haven't watched... not many of the baseball games, the Red Sox, but I've watched a lot of the Patriots Super Bowl games, with the exception of the two losses to the Giants. I can't watch those. And the Philly and the Philly game with the Philly special, I won't watch those. But I've watched them several times, the Super Bowl wins, and also the Celtics. Especially the Larry Bird area in McHale and Parrish. Those teams were so great, and Bird, you know, what he did, not only as a great player, but basketball can be a selfish sport, but Bird personified everything. He could have scored 40 or 50 points every night, but his passing was unbelievable, along with his great shooting.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed watching and still watch. I watched one last night, the Celtics against the Lakers, back in the mid-'80s there, the seventh game. And watching Brady, of course, the best, the GOAT, as everybody calls him, in those Super Bowls. Unbelievable player.
Ken, how about yourself?
Well, I'm pretty much the Patriots. I watched a lot of the Patriots. I've watched that Super Bowl game with Atlanta a couple of times. I love it. I could continue to watch it. It's like a good movie. Even though I know the ending, it's just I really enjoy watching it. I've watched Larry Bird and Michael Jordan, the Michael Jordan. I didn't realize, I knew Michael Jordan was a great player, but I didn't know he was that great, you know, right off the starting block as a rookie. How he took that team right up there, and watching him on film and the things that he did was incredible. And like I said, I don't think I appreciated him enough before until I start watching some of these old films here. So if anything that I've enjoyed, it's been watching the Patriots and the Michael Jordan series. Also, I've watched a few of the college games, some of the great teams back when Barry Switzer was coaching at Oklahoma and stuff. And the thing that really gets me today, it's like monkey see and monkey do. Today, they're all in that spread, and it drives me crazy when they get down on the one-yard line and they're still in that spread, and they got maybe 6 inches to go. Even the pros don't do that. And the high schools have kind of copied that, and it's... I think, you know, being in that spread continually. I like the spread. Butch will tell you we ran about everything possible at Salem, but we had a lot of different formations, and I still like being under the center the best. I just think it's better for the play action, and I think that the running back can get to the line a lot quicker than from the spread. So those are the things that I kind of noticed watching the old films. And, oh, and the last thing with the Celtics, I couldn't believe how short those shorts are back then compared to what they wear today.
Yeah, exactly. And but Ken, I'm always struck by the three-man stack eye from the Salem High offense.
Well, you know, people when I first used that kind of laughed about it, you know, and I used it up in Maine. Every time we got inside the 35-yard line, it was a great offense for four-down situations because you're almost positive of getting a couple of yards each time. And over the years, I changed my offense to try to match it up with the talent that I had. But the one thing I never dropped out of my offense was the sack offense. I just think the play-action pass, I can't tell you how many times we scored on our 35 blast pass with a long one. I can remember in the Beverly game back in the one that we came from behind. They had us on the two-yard line, and we hit that long pass to Joey Costanzo right up the middle of the field off of the play action from there. People think you can't throw out of that offense, but you can. And we would slide the two back out of the backfield, and nobody would pick them up. And we had so much success with it. And look at what Jimmy O'Leary has done with it at Governor. 90% of his offense, I go up and watch him, 90% of his offense is that stack offense. And they just kill everybody. Nobody can stop it because they don't see it enough.
Hmm. Butch?
Yeah, Ken did tremendous things with the offense. He could run power. He could run spreads, formational shifting. A lot of teams would try to cover everything that we did with all the formations and motion, and it confused a lot of teams. And, Ken's offense actually outsmarted a lot of the other teams. We could actually beat teams with maybe lesser talent at times because of the offense. And our defense, too. Ken ran multiple defenses, 8 or 9 different defenses, from four-man fronts to five-man fronts to goal-line defense. And with a lot of blitzing, we did many things on both sides of the football that helped us win a lot of football games.
Ken?
Speaking of defense, too, I think every one of our defense had a blitz coming from somewhere. They were all designed to always have at least one guy pressuring, sometimes more than one. And I look at the spread offense today, and I think about what you probably remember when we scrimmaged Walpole, when they had Todd Collins, and I forget the other guy that they had that became an outstanding quarterback in college. But we used what we put in. We called it the slaughter. And Sean Gallagher and Jamie Anketell over a period of 3 years. Sean had 16 sacks from that defense in 1 year. And I look at that slaughter defense, we would kill that spread offense today with that because you got good pressure coming from the corners, but up the middle, we would absolutely slaughter that spread offense today.
I'm going to circle back, Ken. This is a couple of comments ago, but when you started, we were talking about the Salem-Beverly game. You started at your own two. That was that ended with a game-winning Kevin Keon field goal, right?
Right.
Yeah. With for Salem for that win in that year. I don't know, what is that, 81? Or I'm not sure what year.
That would be 79 and 81. We came, we had two unbelievable games. We won one with a Kevin extra point. Costanzo made the great catch at midfield, and then we went down and scored. I think Jimmy LeBlanc and Jeff Dubiel were the outstanding rushers, and then Keon kicked the extra. We scored, and Keon kicked the extra point. And then 2 years later, in 81, we had the great game where Beverly came in a very heavy favorite to win the conference, and we ran up on them 19-0 at halftime, and a lot of people left. We stunned them, but they came back in the third quarter. They went ahead 21-19 in the last minutes of the game. And we got the ball, and we drove down, and Kevin Keon kicked the field goal, and we ended up winning an unbelievable game, 22-21, after blowing a 19-point lead.
Okay, yeah. Well, that was the game. That was clearly the premier football game on the North Shore during that era, for sure. You versus Coach Bill Hamer from Beverly, and that we've done a number of shows on that over the years. But we should do another one for sure on that great game, that great series, if you will, during that time span, for sure.
Yeah, Billy was the best. We put it in the right perspective. In fact, we used to go out to eat the Monday night before the Thanksgiving Day game, the brothers in Peabody, and Billy Kapoor's, Billy and I eating supper there. And he said that Broderick and I forget the guy over to Beverly, the old-time coach that was
Charlie
there.
Walsh?
Yeah, Charlie Walsh. Beverly and Charlie Walsh would be turning over in their grave, seeing you guys out enjoying each other before a Beverly-Salem Thanksgiving Day game. Okay. But Billy and I had a lot of things in common. We both had boys go to the academy. His oldest son, Billy Jr., went to West Point, and my son Ken went to a Naval Academy, and then both our younger sons went to Coast Guard Academy. So, we had a lot in common. I used to sneak over when Army was playing Navy and plaster things all over his house and car at night, you know, go Navy, beat Army, you know, and stuff. And we just enjoyed each other, and he's a great guy, Billy, one of the nicest men I've ever met in the coaching field.
Ken, you've given up vandalism now at your advanced years, right?
Yeah, I can't run as fast as I could to get out of there anymore.
Butch, you want to pick up on anything you heard there in the last 5 minutes?
No, a lot of those games with Beverly came down to the wire over the years, and we won some, they won some. They were great battles. A tremendous atmosphere with 10, 11, 12, 13,000 people at those games. Unforgettable moments.
Yeah. Ken, I look to a guy like currently, and I know I wasn't going to make this all about football. In fact, just the opposite, but now that we're talking about it, a coach like Lynn English coach Chris Carroll, who's done such a nice job with their program, he runs the spread, but he also runs a tight kind of a double wing formation at time, and puts a fullback back there as well or whatever. And it reminds me of the kind of the change up that you would do with the with all your different sets and so on. You don't see that much anymore. Usually teams are pretty, they like what they do, and they continue to do it. They'll mix it up from time to time for sure. But, it's just a completely different look. And that's what that three-man stack eye or some of the other sets would do, is just give a completely different look to the offense.
Yeah, I think there's a time and place in the field, where you can use different sets. And like I said, inside the 35, I used to like that stack because it was almost a sure positive yardage each time.
All right, man. Hey, so now with this pandemic, how have things changed for you guys? Ken, I know you're a golfer, so you haven't been out golfing much, I'm sure.
I haven't been golfing since I left Florida, which was in February when they closed the golf courses there as well. And now they opened it up, but they're not being fair to the people being over because they won't let them use the carts. And I don't remember. One person in a cart could be fine. I'm the only one in my group that can still walk the golf course 9 holes. And so we're not playing because my other buddies just can't do it. And so I'm waiting for them to open it, so we can use the carts. That's the big change. But to be honest with you, Bill, the time is really going fast for me being quarantined into our homes. I'm out in the yard, I want to say 5 or 6 hours a day working in my gardens and in my lawns and stuff like that.
Butch, how about yourself? How have things been with the Giardis?
Well, I don't spend 5 or 6 hours in the yard. I don't, Ken's a lot younger than me and a lot stronger. So I am spending a little more time in the yard. And I think I mentioned to you yesterday, Bill, that I started washing my cars again. I can't remember the last time I washed my cars. I usually bring them to the car wash. That's just another way of killing a couple hours of time washing cars. not much of anything other than, you know, stuff like that around the house and just watching games on TV. And you keep watching the same games over and over again. Like Ken says, you know the outcome, but you like the result.
That's true. I love it.
Well, you know, let me ask you this, guys. So, you know, you look at today's games, you look at the games that you're watching, some of them, you know, some of them back from the 80s and later, I guess, for sure. But what do you take about the contrast in, of the times, if you will? I mean, that's a long span of time. What, they, you know, 40 years, whatever?
Yeah, to me, it's just like yesterday, to be honest with you. You know, everything is so vivid in my mind, and it's just getting refreshed watching it, and then I still enjoy it. And also, I made a highlight film on every team that I ever coached. So occasionally I'll go in there and put the old tapes into the tape thing and the TV and sit there and watch teams. Incidentally, I've got a couple of highlight films on Michael and Tommy Butch that I want to give you somewhere down the line. I want to give them away before I go and play for the guy up in the sky. And So I do have one. Do you have any highlights on Tommy? If you don't, he'll enjoy that his senior year on the highlight film that I have.
It's funny, Ken. I have every game that was ever on that Tom and Mike played pretty much in high school and college. I have all the tapes, but you know what? I haven't watched them. I don't even know if they say if you don't use the tapes over a period of years that they deteriorate. And I haven't watched one, I'll bet you, in probably in 20 years.
Well, I don't think they deteriorate because I've been watching my 68 and 70 Brewer teams, and they're on tape, and they're still fine.
Wow, that's good to hear. Yeah, I'd appreciate that when you get a chance, Ken.
Those aren't on movie projectors that you're watching, Ken?
No. You stick the tape into the TV, you know, the, what do you call it?
VCR.
Yeah. VCR.
Okay. Well, I do remember, and of course you guys do too. I mean, you used to have the films and the projector breaking down the games from the week before or whatever. Yeah.
Boy, I think things have really changed now. You know, I can remember when I started, I'd make a highlight film, and I'd have to cut the tape and then splice it with tape and then bring it down to Boston to get it put together, spliced together. And now, I mean, when you make them, you know, just so everything is so simplified. And the same thing, one last thing I want to talk about is making the tournament. I mean, we had, Butch was saying how, you know, Michael's year, we had a great team. We're 9-1. We lost one heartbreaker of a game, and we didn't make the playoff. And I was figuring out we would have gone to either the Super Bowl or the playoffs about 9 times if they had the rules that they had. You know, if you win the conference, you go. Then they divided the conference, so now you have a big and a small. Well, Winthrop was, you know, when they had those great teams, 3 years in a row, we lost out to Winthrop. I think they won something like about 25 or 20, whatever it was, in a row and went. But they would have been in the small division. We would have been in the big division and gone. And now they water it down, for crying out loud. You win 2 games and you go to a playoff, which is, you know, just total ridiculous.
It's funny, Ken. I don't mean to butt in there. You know, I saw a game last fall where Amesbury came in with the record was 3-4, and they played Swampscott. I went over to that game. You know, Swampscott won the game handily, which. It's hard to fathom why a team with only 3 wins would get into the playoffs, but that, going by the rules, they qualify.
Well, I can remember a Salem team not too long ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, won 2 games and got into the playoffs. And obviously they got killed, but it is really watered down. But, you know, it's nice to have the teams get into a playoff if you got a decent record. Like Butch said, Michael had a great senior year, and we had a great Thanksgiving Day game that year. Mike was just outstanding, and we would have done really well if we could have got into a playoff. And with a 9-1 record or an 8-2 record or a 7-3 record, I think teams should be allowed to get in the playoff. But when you're dropping down to 1 win, 2 wins, 3 wins, and letting teams in the playoff is ridiculous. Hmm.
I had a chance last week to talk to Steve Dombowski, former Swampscott coach now at Milton, who has done a lot of work on proposing a new plan. And one of their plans is to do all the postseason after Thanksgiving, which means Thanksgiving counts again, which it hasn't for years, for the most part, and I think that would be a good move. I mean, and then you, basically what you guys are saying, you know, really the top 20% would get into the playoffs under the system. That's ballparking the number a little bit, but so that's a change from the way it is now for sure. And I think it's a decent plan, to be quite honest with you.
Well, that's good. Speaking of Dombowski, he's probably the best coach I've seen run the spread. You know, when we were broadcasting, Bill, I'll never forget those games with North Attleboro. And but Steve was the one really that started to run that spread consistently and did such a great job with it. He's an outstanding coach. I think he was probably one of the best offensive coaches that I've faced, you know, as a varsity coach.
Yeah, and they haven't missed a beat. They've kept that up. They still run the spread probably as well as anybody. And, you know, I think with Coach Serino there, they've, you know, he's pretty much mirroring what they had done in the past with the power. And, you know, they always had, you know, they had the spread, Ken, but like the Salem teams, they had a power running back with those Dombowski teams, even though they were opening it up and throwing. They, you know, they were not just one-dimensional.
No, he's an outstanding coach, no question about it.
One thing I'd like to mention, Bill and Ken, is what Ken said earlier, and I've talked to Mike about it, is teams that run the spread, when they get down around the goal line in Marblehead, they'll still be in the spread formation. I've said to Mike, well, what are you doing? The guy's back 5 yards, you know, and you only need a yard to get a touchdown. And you're running the spread where you get under the center. He's, no, we don't want to. You know, I can't figure that out. Or a short yardage situation in the middle of the field where you need a yard or two and they're still in the spread.
Well, you know, you see that a lot in the pros. I mean, you guys have been watching the Patriots a lot. I mean, how many times has that seemed, even as successful a passing team as the Patriots and under Tom Brady have been, when they get down, you know, inside the 10 or whatever, they've been stopped. Obviously, those giant games that you guys were watching, I kind of remember those moments. I mean, there were
too many times they've been stopped on the 1 yard line with four downs and not scoring.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I guess that's great. I'm glad to hear that. You know, Butch, I know you watch all the sports, but it is great to be able to catch those old Larry Bird things. I mean, here's my Larry Bird story. I was at a game at the old Boston Garden with a friend of mine many, many years ago. It was the year before Larry Bird came to the Celtics, but on that night he came into the Garden, and back before Larry Bird was there, the Garden was a sleepy place to watch basketball. It was not that exciting. And Larry Bird came in as a guest of Red Auerbach's, and the place lit up with cheers and so on, with just Larry Bird in the building. He hadn't been picked yet, or wasn't a part of the team yet, but they knew it was coming. And then once he joined the team, every night on the highlights, you'd watch the 11 o'clock news or whatever the sports highlights were at the time, and you'd always find a Larry Bird pass making those highlights, wouldn't you, Butch, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he was as good as I've ever seen, distributing the ball. He wasn't a ball hog. Like I said earlier, he could have scored 40, 50 points every night. But he didn't have to. He had all those other skills.
Yeah. Ken, anything, any
fight?
Go ahead, Ken. I'm sorry.
No, those were the days. We've been spoiled in the Boston area. You know, between the Patriots and the Bruins and the Celtics and the Red Sox, and been so many pennants over this since the last 15, 20 years, and I can remember when I think all three of them had won a title within 6 or 7 months of each other. And I was kidding the people down in Florida. I'm going, yeah. I says, we're really panicking in Florida. I said, we haven't had a parade in 6 months now, you know, and just kind of rubbing it in, you know, to the other people down there. My wife will tell you, they hate us down there when they find out we're Patriots you know, and from the Boston area. The first thing they say, oh, you Patriots, you know, we hate you guys. And I love every minute of it, you know, when they're saying it, you know. But I am going to watch Tampa Bay this year as well as the Patriots and cheer for the Gronk and Brady. I enjoyed watching both of those guys over the past 20 years, and I wish them nothing but the best. I'd love to see Tampa Bay, you know, go all the way to the Super Bowl. And wouldn't it be great if somehow, some way, that they could meet the Patriots in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, yeah. Butch, any other thoughts from you?
No, I agree with Ken. I hope Brady continues all the great things he's done with the Patriots down there and with Gronk, and I will watch Tampa Bay whenever we can do, and I hope the Patriots do well with the new kid Stidham at quarterback and continue their success.
Hey, Ken, you are
going to be a good quarterback. I think, you know, they got him young, and when he got in the preseason, I thought he did really well. I know in the regular season he threw that pick, and he didn't play much after that. I think the first time they let him in. And he was only 1 for 5 in passing, but in preseason he has the ability. You know, once he's the number one man and he doesn't have the pressure, I think that he's going to be a pretty good young quarterback.
I agree with Ken again on that. He was very impressive in the preseason last year.
You know, Ken, I got to ask you one last question here, and that would be a prediction. So, you know, not so much on the local sports scene, but you know what. What do you think is going to happen this summer with baseball? What do you think is going to happen this fall with the NFL and with college football? I mean, Ken, you were always on top of things. When I would see you on Monday or Tuesday for our weekly interview that we did years ago, you would know the weather for the weekend well ahead of when I would know the weather for the week. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm pretty good, you know, but I do take a few days off on watching the weather here and there. But you know what I'm saying? You were on top. So what do you think is going to happen with baseball eventually here? You knowing all the –
I'll play without any fans. I think it's going to be a while before they allow them to play with fans, which makes it kind of, you know, cruddy. I'm watching South Korea there where they got these cardboard cutouts and sitting in the stands, and they have the noise coming from the loudspeaker, you know, so that it sounds like a game. But with this thing here, I don't care if the Red Sox, to be honest, don't play this year, and the Bruins and the Celtics don't play. But I'll be sick if NFL football doesn't play. You know, that's the one thing that I truly love to watch every week. You know, on the Thursday night game and the Sunday games. So that would really affect me if the NFL can't play this year.
Right.
But I think somehow, some way, they're going to play.
Butch, any other final thoughts from you?
You know, hopefully they play, but it doesn't look that good, especially now in baseball. The major league players, who's one of the pitchers for Tampa Bay, a great young pitcher, Smiley, said that I want my money, I don't care. And baseball better be careful if the players' union continues down that road. Guys, the average player makes $4 million a year, and they're complaining about getting their money. That doesn't look good to me, and I don't think to many people in the public.
Yeah, I agree with you, Butch. I think the same way. I think everybody's got to take a fair cut. I mean, if there's no fans there, the owners are going to take a hit, and they've got to pay for everything else. So, I mean, if the owners have to take a cut, the players should be able to take a cut.
Like Smiley, I don't know what he makes, but let's say he's making $9 million, and say they play 81 games, half the season. So now you're down to $4.5 million, right? A half of $9 million. And then the owner said to them, well, if we don't have people in the stands, you've got to take another one-third pay cut. So one-third of $4.5 million is $1.5 million. So now you're still getting $3 million. I mean, $3 million, Ken. I never made $3 million in my whole life. Probably not even a million. You know, we never,
yep.
None of us. What's wrong with $3 million?
No, you're right. I mean, and people are going to get turned off, you know. I mean, I think people are finding that they can live without baseball. So, like you said, they better not be so greedy. I mean, yeah. Especially a pitcher. He pitches every fourth or fifth day, and half the time they pitch, they don't go past the sixth inning. So they got it easier than anybody else on that team.
Yeah, in fact, even like Tommy Glavine, the great Atlanta pitcher, who's in the Hall of Fame, the kid from Billerica, he said the other day the players got to be careful. He says because they're going to be the losers in this.
Yeah, yeah.
They should be if they don't agree to take a pay cut.
Yeah,
yeah. Where are they going to go? Korea? I don't know.
Yeah, they're going to live like the rest of us from paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, yeah. Well, gentlemen, it is great hearing from you guys, both of you, and a great shout-out to both of your great careers in coaching, in football and baseball, both of you. And so, Ken and Al Butch Giardi, thanks so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. Hey, good talking to you, Bill, again.
Hey, by the way, Ken, do you have a birthday coming up soon?
Yeah, I'm going to be, I'm going to be 58.
58.
If you want to turn it backwards.
Well, that means I'm only going to be 58, Ken. I'm 10 years younger than you.
So I'm hitting the big 85, and to be honest with you, Bill, I can still outwork most of my ball players.
Yeah. No, I believe it. Yeah, yeah. Well, Ken Perrone and Al Butch Giardi, thanks so much for joining us on the program. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
See you, Butch. Yeah. Have a great day and stay safe, both of you guys.
Yeah, you too.
That will do it for us today on Connections, a special kind of sports-related Connections program. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Again, thanks so much for being with us. And, of course, a special thanks to our two guests, Ken Perrone, the longtime Salem State baseball coach and Salem High football coach, and Al Butch Giardi, his assistant in football for many years and also the longtime varsity baseball coach at Salem High. It was fun talking with those guys, sharing some stories from Salem football, from some great years. And, man, that Salem-Beverly Thanksgiving football game was huge back in those days when you had Ken Perrone at Salem High and Bill Hamer at Beverly High and so on. So, anyways, that's what we had for you for today. Have a great weekend, everybody, and stay safe, and we'll see you back here again next week on Connections.